everybody. David Donaldson here with my associate, Joe Martin. Always happy to have him by my side. And this week, we have a returning guest, our esteemed regional leader, Bo Menchetti. Bo, welcome back to Entrepreneurial Impact. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great today, Dave. It's great to be with you and Joe and for another day of entrepreneurship and impact.
Awesome. Listen, we had you on, I don't know, 60 days ago, and we had the conversation around the power of home and the concept of what that looks like. This is something that you've been a champion of for a long time. I want to not completely recycle the whole thing, but I want to remind everybody of what is that philosophy and how can agents transform the way that they build relationships with their consumers through the power of home?
Well, I think, Dave, you know, the idea of the power home just starts with the philosophy about who we are as real estate professionals, right? That ultimately we have this really awesome, intangible and yet tangible, yet so important thing in people's lives called home, that we have the opportunity to facilitate for them, to help them create, to help them buy, to help them transition. And so that puts us in this really important position in society, in our communities, and in people's lives. And so we start there by this idea that, yeah, it's a great entrepreneurial job. It sometimes has been glamorized in the past or demonized in the past, but at its heart, this is about helping people deal with one of the most personal and important pieces of their lives, their home. And so if you go from there to say, okay, historically, we as real estate practitioners have really just dealt in the, hey, are you out there looking for a home? Can I help you find a home? Can I help you sell? You need to sell your home? Can I help you sell your home? And we've kind of forgotten the rest of that piece. But if you see some of our best professionals, you know, have sort of stretched into that. So what happens when the person gets ready to actually move? What is their move like? How they furnish that house? How they get acclimated to a new neighborhood? How do they actually join? What schools do their kids go to? How do they get involved in community activities? Where do they worship? Right. And then, okay, as they go through their life in that home, well, what happens when the gutters need to be changed or the seasons change? I've got to turn over my heating and cooling. What happens if all of a sudden my grandma wants to come live with me and I need to make an addition? You know,
agents have to, right, we have to understand that for them, this asset, right, the things tied to it and the pivotal elements of overall being, this is their financial future, right? And we're in an integral cog in what that looks like for them. And these continued conversations about those decisions set them up for life.
Yeah, and ultimately, Power Home is saying, hey, let's not just be the people over here that are one piece of that machine. Let's go sit next to that consumer and help guide them through that full life cycle. So instead of being someone who shows up just at this one moment when they're ready to do a transaction, let's be the side-by-side fiduciary partner to that consumer through their entire homeownership journey, which involves multiple cycles of selling and moving and reestablishing. And that is the true meaning of a client for life, right?
It's a generational relationship when properly managed.
And I'm saying, if I'm that guy or I'm that gal, I'm not talking about how I can help get you in this house. My value doesn't end in here's a product that I can help you sell. My value is here is the role of homeownership in your life. Here's what it does for you in terms of wealth building. Here's what it does for you in terms of your family, safety, security, your lifestyle. So now I'm in the business of delivering the power of home to somebody's life, not just selling a pretty product that's staged for the moment.
So what I'm hearing is there's a strategic move from going from a brokering a transaction to be an advisor, a consultant through the entire life cycle of home ownership and treating yourself as, right? When you're in business, there's three things you got to go get. You got to go get a financial planner. You got to get a great accountant or CPA, and then an in-house lawyer that's going to be a dog for you and going to the bat. And I think the piece now is saying that with everything that DOJ is changing up, that in order to position yourself differently in that market as a real estate professional, you really have to get into the advisory consulting, which is more than just brokering a transaction and finding a house. It's really about the entire lifestyle. We buy lifestyle, right? So how do you position yourself as the lifestyle expert in home ownership so that you can do the wealth creation, but you can also talk about how do I expand that? How do I reposition that? And how do I make the lifestyle inside that? Because a lot of your home first-time home buyers now, right, that you're bringing up, Bo, is they're millennials. They need help in maintaining a home because they don't know what it, those trades are not something that most people are actually like trained in anymore.
I mean, Joe, if you think about it, right, a broker brokers a transaction. Their result is a completed transaction. But if I'm a fiduciary or a advisor or the person responsible for a component of your life, I'm now responsible for lifestyle, for wealth creation. I'm fundamentally responsible for the results of this category of your life, right? And I think that that's the shift. If I'm a broker, I do a transaction, I complete the transaction, I've done, I've won. But if I'm going to be a fiduciary responsible for executing the power home in your life, then I have a very different set of outcomes that get at the fundamental lifestyle you live and at the wealth creation that this asset creates in your life.
So if we understand that, and here's the interesting thing is that I think of that concept of the power home for some, that's kind of always been there to a degree about how they run their social business. I know that is for somebody, for me, but I do also recognize it's missed on a large component of our industry because they're transactional based and we need to shift away from that. Now, if we look at the current environment, right, here we're heading into August, we understand there's some radical changes around representation agreements, contracts, a lot of big words and noise that we hear on TV. To me, right, because I have lived this life that you've termed power of home through sphere-based businesses, there isn't such a change in how I present myself. But I think there is a large change for the agents themselves because they aren't comfortable, right, having the proper conversations where they have set themselves up. Where do you see these changes where we are now, and how do we disarm the agents and the consumer with all this noise?
Well, first of all, you're right. There's a lot of noise. And whenever there's a lot of noise, it's really hard to filter through, right? Because there's important things to learn from noise. There's a reason there's noise, and there's often key messages in the noise. But the noise itself can be overwhelming if you just get caught up in it. And so how do you figure out how to still that? But I think one of the things that remains true, Dave, through all this, and where if you think about the fundamental premise of the attack from lawsuits and from the situations with the DOJ on our industry, it's asking a fundamental question. Does the realtor provide value to their client commensurate with the price that they charge? And part of the problem is that they're looking at it in the very narrow microcosm that we have positioned ourselves in as brokers. So you worked on that one deal for only 1 week and you made a $25,000 commission. Is that a fair price? If we could drive that down, we could drive down the cost of home ownership in America and all of a sudden it would solve all the problems. Very flawed logic, very flawed logic. But that's the premise behind this, right? So fundamentally people are asking the question, if I look at you as a transactional operator, are you being overcompensated? And they're saying yes. But that's because they're looking at the real estate agent as a transactional operator. They're looking at the one deal that happened where it worked, not the other deals that took a year and a half.
So, Bo,
they're not looking at how you help the person get their kids into the soccer league 2 years later, or that they called you to ask for the recommendation for the guy to do the gutters, right?
So would you say that what we just talked about like a couple minutes ago was that there's a defining moment in our industry of, are you a broker or are you an advisor? Because if you're just looking at the transaction, your value is going to be commensurate to what you're actually providing. And if you're actually a home advisor, you're actually going to have a lot more value. And I think there's also a way to position yourself differently in the eyes of the consumers by that juxtaposition of services and who you are.
Yeah, I mean, think about our industry, like us as agents, right? are in this position where if you just look at the numbers for a second, Joe, right? If you're going to be a broker, if you're just a broker, you look at the increase in home prices in the U.S., and you would have this like massively increasing compensation to people paid off of percentage. That's what they're looking at. Hey, home prices have gone up by this much in the last 4 years. You know, no other job in America got a 50%, 40% increase in pay over the last. That's how they're looking at it. Because they're looking at it from a commission standpoint. Because they're looking at it as a broker. If you looked at it as an advisor responsible for delivering the power of home, well, why would you not want the best in the industry to handle the most valuable asset that most Americans have? What if you look at this differently? You say, okay, we got all sorts of regulations and stuff and compensation to people who manage your 401k or stock portfolio. And for most Americans, their house and their equity in their house is a way larger part of their wealth. So what about that isn't important and worthy of being compensated, right? But the question is, if we're all we're talking about is quick hits, then there's a question there, and it's a legitimate question. And our industry is built that way. So here's the problem. We have been out here running a certain way. We've gone through an era of a real focus on being entrepreneurial real estate, doing transactions. How do you expand that? How do you build a team? How do you grow a business? How do you do all that, right? But that space is very transactional focused. And ultimately, there's many people here in our industry who've great at that. Our most entrepreneurial human beings in the real estate industry have built successful businesses in that team, in that structure. And so now you're asking somebody to go change and do something else. And it's like, who moved my cheese? Why would I stop doing what's made me successful, Joe, so I could do something new that I don't quite feel yet. I kind of know it's rumbling. There's like rain clouds and I see some lightning in the distance, but it's not raining. I'm not wet. Why do I need to put on a jacket when not wearing a jacket has been extremely helpful to me in the past? I've been compensated. I've won because I didn't wear a jacket. Now you want me to wear a jacket. It ain't raining, Joe.
Is that because we're shifting and who moved your cheese is age of the agent to age of consumer?
Yeah, the world's moving. The world's moving. Like, make no mistake about it. The world moved. The age of everybody wants to be an entrepreneur and get this self-employed job to be a realtor, that age moved. Still a great career, didn't change it, but that cheese moved. So now the question's gonna become, it's a different centering. It used to center the agent. Now we're centering the consumer. So how does that show up in your advertising? How does it show up in your communication, your messaging, and your positioning? If you've been messaging, hey, look at me, I'm the number one dude in Northern Virginia. I got this nice car. Look at how I roll. Check out the bling, you know, ice my wrist. Like, if that's your thing, like, yo, you can have my lifestyle. Hey, if you just work with me, you can have my lifestyle. That has been the pitch. That's an agent-centered pitch. It's an agent-centered pitch. The communication of tomorrow is a customer-centered pitch that starts and ends with the needs, the wants, the desires of the customer.
So when you look at the changes that are afoot, do you look at that as an opportunity for the agents to redefine or reaffirm who they have been? And also what I heard you say something earlier just kind of jumps out at me. And I feel like I have this conversation a lot with people is I think too many of the associates that have a license, right, don't look themselves or consider themselves business owners. So their whole mindset from day one is what's wrong with how they're doing their business around the expectation of their own compensation.
Yeah. No, I think if you start looking at this as a business, you look at it differently, right? And I think with many people, like it's not to say, with many agents out there that are in the business because they understand that value proposition to the consumer. It's just not what we've been taught to sort of necessarily always lead with. They're going to provide service. Our business is about providing service to consumer. So I think there's a lot of people in this industry that is about reaffirming and repositioning what you already do and maybe taking it a step further. And there's others that have been really great at the transactional part of it. And we have to then re-message and reposition their businesses to deliver a different customer proposition. You know, Dave, it's making me think that like we've done a lot of development work in in urban neighborhoods, right? And you have these businesses that have been there that have to transition. And one of the most classic ones we've dealt with in a lot of neighborhoods is liquor stores. So if you think about your typical liquor store in an underinvested in neighborhood, it's got like smaller bottles of alcohol. It's got some bulletproof glass and they spin the little thing around and hand you out your bottle. And that business model worked for them in that space, like it or not, or how, whatever you think about it morally. So then the neighborhood becomes more, maybe it changes. There's some demographic changes. There's a mix of people in there. And no longer are people sort of like, people are repulsed by bulletproof glass. Maybe they have a slightly different product selection that they want. They'd be a little more comfortable in like a wine store than just a liquor store. And so all of a sudden the customer base changes. But it's not even about the customer base changes, but you have to re-identify what, who you serve. But you're still a liquor store. And so our challenge is similar. The environment around us is changing. We have to change the way we communicate and connect with that environment. And that environment is now asking us to be something more. They're saying, hey, don't just be a liquor store. Serve all of my hydration needs. You got to carry water. You got to have Gatorade. You got to have whatever. So we have to wake up and say, hey, we've done this myopic thing in this way. And we now have to do this thing in a different way. And I think that's a huge opportunity. Like, this is a huge opportunity. So in that chaos, there's a huge opportunity to get face to face with people, because it's never, you know, no matter how many regulations are passed or, you know, forms you got to sign before you meet somebody, it's going to come back down to, are you able to connect with somebody, understand their needs, and meet those needs in a holistic way? And I think if we can stay focused on that, this is one of the biggest opportunities in the history of our industry.
What I think is interesting, like if we talk about what's going on currently, right? If you, you know, Steve Murray did a great podcast, I think it's like 20 minutes, 30 minutes about what this whole DOJ, you know, thing does. And I'll, to sum it up for everybody, everybody either is neutral or wins, except for two pieces inside of the brokerage transaction, which are buyers and buyer agents. So this DOJ, let's be clear, the DOJ is on a war path to make sure that sellers compensate listing agents and buyers compensate buyer agents. They're going to get there. It's going to take some time, but that's their goal. And with Steve Murray's podcast, which is really insightful, was like, hey, look, buyers are hurt in this, and so are buyer agents, mainly because now buyers, first, especially when 40% of the U.S. home industry is first-time home buyers, how do they afford professional representation? Because in my experience, you know, you walk into new home construction, you're working with this rep, and you think, oh, they're helping me out get this home. They're working, for the builder. So there's like disclosures that the normal buyer walking in doesn't understand representation. And I think when you think about where we're at today is like, well, how does professional representation get compensated? Because there is value to that. And how do the buyers make sure that they can afford that and it's actually commensurate for what they're servicing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for most people, they have to, or most of our real estate agents have to realize that's what's going on right now, which means the consumer is actually in the control of how they want to be served. And the old ways of how I got paid and how I did the transaction has to change, because if I'm sitting across the table with you, Bo, and say, hey, I'm going to be your buyer rep, I'm going to show you all these homes, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, well, how am I going to afford this? Can I eventually probably finance it? Maybe. But if I'm going to come out of that, it's going to be more than just, well, Bo, trust me. Oh, I just met you for 15 minutes. Like, thanks for saying trust me. And anybody that comes out in the first 15 minutes and says, trust me, I don't trust, because that's just, you don't say that. It's kind of like, hey, I'm an honest person. So I'm going to tell you I'm honest. Well, whenever I heard honest three different times or trust me three different times in the first 5 minutes of meeting with you, I got red flags, right? So my point being is that if I sit down with you and know as a buyer agent now, I got to do something different with value proposition. And my value proposition can't be, I've got access to the MLS, I know the contracts, and I know how to prevent. Now, we've also done data searches on this, that the top thing that buyers want to have when they're like going through home ownership is to make sure they don't make any critical mistakes. Like we're not talking critical mistakes, like, I skinned my knee, like literally a gunshot wound to the head. Like, I want to make sure I avoid that and that I'm not getting fleeced on whatever property I'm buying. Those are really like risk mitigation and massive fallout. That's what they're trying to make sure that they protect for when they get a buyer rep agreement signed. Now, if I sit down and I just say, I know those things from service.
Can you stop there for a second, Joe?
Yeah.
Because part of what's inherent in the conversation that's happening right now with DOJ is this idea that, like, hey, because people now can find their homes online, the value of a buyer agent is less. Well, that assumes that the value we provide as agents is helping somebody identify a home and opening the door for them to see it. Versus what you just said, which is if you actually survey consumers, and this is a really important, if you actually survey consumers, they are not hiring a real estate agent because they have the nicest car. They're not hiring them to help show them a house. They're hiring somebody to validate their decision of what they want to buy and to make sure they don't make any mistakes and they prevent any large pitfalls. So they're stepping into this large transaction that is partly personal and has a lot of practices and things that they don't understand. And so what they're wanting is a guide that's going to affirm them in making the right decision for them and ensure that they don't fall off any cliffs along the way and that they get the best outcome they can from that process by navigating risk and opportunity through that process. So if that's what a realtor actually does, that's what somebody in the real estate industry actually does. How different is that? Like, how are they supposed to show up? How are you supposed to see them compared to somebody who just helps me find a house?
Well, I think it goes into the positioning, right? Like, how do you communicate your value as an advisor or consultant and that you lead with a discussion around what are your needs and not just be like shelter is actually, what does that look like? And here are some things you don't know about the process because you're first time home buyer. And so we have to be more educated about how we do that on the front end. But here's the other thing when you add, like, all right, say you got a thriving business because you're a great advisor, you know how to negotiate, you know all these different things, you know the different product offerings for loan products and best title search, all these different things for risk mitigation. The next thing I would say, if you really want to position yourself differently, which goes into the power of home, is then what products, right, can I provide you where you don't have to think, it is just part of my experience and journey in home ownership. So a lot of times buyers have been like, buyer agents have been treated this way, is like, you need to risk mitigate your own self. So like, give them three options here and say, oh, well, here's your choices. You make up your own thing. What happens when you say, I vetted all these things, I know what these look like, and not only are you going to get the best advisory and negotiation and risk mitigation, but you're also going to get, you're not going to have to think about moving because I got you taken care of. You're not going to have to think about staging, or you're not going to have to think about painting the thing. You're not going to have to worry about where these outlets are. I'm already going to work through all these things with you. And then when you get into the home, not only are you going to get a home warranty, but I'm also going to set you up with a property manager that actually takes care of primary home ownership. Because, hey, do you know that you need to change? Hey, when your ice machine stops working, you realize it's not the ice machine's broken. It's that you didn't change the water filter in it. So all these other things that people coming from Class A apartments were taking care of because it was just concierge in that Class A apartment want that. Now, some people are going to be hands-on, like be Mr. Fix-It or Mrs. Fix-It, and say, hey, here's the guidance bow for September. These are all the things you need to do. And end of year, these are the things you want to do. Or do you want to click this other button and say, hey, I'll send out a team that goes and takes care of it for you? People are willing to do that because it's a lifestyle choice. And I think when you look at your buyer rep agreements and what you actually do as far as that advisor, it has to go more than just services that you provide. It's also who are you in partnership with and what ecosystem are you in to provide tech solutions for people's experience, but also product offerings with other vendors that you might not have done before, but is necessary because the consumer is going to demand it. So when you are sitting at the kitchen table with a buyer now, just like listing agents have to do with sellers, if they're saying, hey, do you want to use Joe that's an advisor and takes care of the whole lifestyle experience? Or do you want to deal with Dave who's just brokering a transaction?
I was just saying, we kind of laid out like this, there's like a conceptual. So like, how do you guys see that? I'm interested in how you guys see that impacting like today. I'm out there trying to do transactions today. Practically, what does that mean for how I behave and what I do?
That's kind of where I was going to jump in. Like personally, when I locally, we've had the buyer broker agreement. It's been there as long as I can remember, going back a dozen years since I've been here in Northern Virginia, but it's all about how it was executed and how it was actually being utilized by intent. And unfortunately, we watered down the value of the buyer's broker's agreement by how we presented it as an offset of saying, hey, Bo and Joe, here's what I'm going to do to help represent you. And don't, oh, by the way, don't worry about compensation, because I'm going to be offered something from the other side that's going to take care of it. There may be some fluctuation of that, but I'm good. Now we have to really go back to that. And if you look at the most skilled listing agents, right, I think that's where these people, those practitioners will come out a little bit better ahead, because they had to show value in what they did to move a house. On the buyer representation agreement now, we have to do the same thing in more detail for those that were relying on the easy sell of saying, don't worry about it, I'm covered. Now you truly have to justify it by showing all those things that we've just spent the last 20 minutes talking about, of what sets you apart other than, hey, yeah, I've got a great mobile app, I've got a great website, my website refreshes every 15 minutes, I can plug into the MLS. Yeah, everybody's got the idea of what properties are out there. The question is, do I understand you well enough to help you find the property that hits all the things that you've told me you need, right? How do I interpret what you need based off what you said? And that's going to change after we tour a couple of properties, but am I paying attention enough? Am I listening to you? Am I watching your cues, right? Those are the things that when the agents go in and have a buyer broker agreement that they have to focus on and so not let them off.
So to go off your point, Bo, like I think about my CPA or my attorneys, right? So when I go to my attorney, I go to him and say, this is what my challenge is. And he goes and says, okay, this is what our strategy is. This is how we're going to do it. These are the things you don't know about the current situation. Here's what you do know. Here's what you don't know. And he goes, then he goes and says, okay, in order for us to do this, I need you to go get this. Here's the expert in financial auditing. Here's the expert in this real estate law. And here's blah, blah, blah. He's already got his vendors. So, and I'm going off of him because he's like, this is who you want so we can win this thing, right? Or defense or whatever it may be. He's already telling me that. My CPA is doing the same thing and saying, hey, this is who you need to call for financial wealth management. Oh, you've got a bunch of real estate. Well, instead of going to this financial person, it's really in stocks and bonds and stuff like that. You really need to be over at this person. And you also need to get in touch with this other like attorney that's going to deal with trusts and how you're going to mitigate all that type of stuff. So if you think about, there's already like, go back to like, it's just, the play's already out there. It's just that these professionals have a higher education, higher bar, whatever you want to call it, because look, okay, we had 60 hours in Virginia to get your license. But these people are positioning themselves as experts, and they're already knowing what your experience and the hiccups are going to be and what you need to be at the highest level. And I think if you mirror attorneys and CPAs and financial services, the play's already there. But how do you incorporate that into the real estate meetings and treating yourself as that type of level of professional?
Well, I think it's, you know, there were two things that sort of came to my mind when I thought about this at a practical level. The first is, how do we actually present ourselves to the market, right? And I think one of the opportunities you have today is to present the full life cycle of service and results up front. And what do I mean by that? I think historically, we were taught a lot of times to bring people in through product. So today, historically, when I was starting the industry, I was taught you get clients through product and personality. So I'm gonna market, I'm gonna communicate, you know, here's my personality, I love poodles and this is what I do, or here's this, I'm the Capitol Hill guy, I am the young professional guy, whatever it was. And then product, here's a house, don't you want this house? I think moving forward, there's this opportunity to sort of change to a focus on service and results. And so here's the services we can provide and here's the results you can get. When you go to a top attorney or a top financial advisor or a top, doctor even, they're talking about service and results. They're not saying like, hey, I can prescribe you this medicine. Like they're saying, hey, I can give you these services that'll make you healthy. And oh, by the way, here's what's happened. I have this many clients. I can provide you these financial services, but here's the outcome. You will grow your wealth. And so I think that becomes a different way of communicating. And the second thing that I wanted to talk about is I think there's going to be a lot of small micro opportunities in how we do business today. And one of them, I think, is the open house, that there's going to be this opportunity to really make open houses powerful. Because if you can't sort of just meet up with a client and show them a house without having had your buyer consultation, gotten agreement ahead of time, well, there's going to be this one place where you can be in front of a bunch of consumers without having a buyer broker agreement in a product, in a controlled experience. So to me, today is an amazing time as a real estate professional to really revamp how you do open houses and think about what is that moment you get one-on-one, you know, to be in front of people in a controlled environment where they're experiencing stuff. So what does that mean? What are you sharing when you're there? What are you sharing? And back to, are we sharing about service and results? Are we sharing? And are we also maybe giving the connection to other product that's in the neighborhood because they're trying to figure out what's going on? And then I think the other opportunity that just a little, these micro opportunities, I think where we could seize them. Historically, we've thought about our partners, our core service advisors, our lender, our insurance person, maybe our title rep as folks that we bring in after we have a contract. We go get somebody under contract and then we pull our team together to help them. And then we say, maybe actually we do know a handyman. We don't tell about that till after they move in the house and they broke something. What if we start to do that up front? Hey, I'm here to help you and here's my team. So I'm actually going to do my buyer consult and I'm going to involve my lender in my buyer consult to share, not to try to snag their business, but to share the advice of what are the mortgage products out there and what they should be considering. So I'm messaging from day one, I have this entire transaction for you and I've got trusted professionals that are not here to necessarily sell you something, but to educate you and to provide service to you. Or like, so that is, I think it's going to change to actually having to demonstrate some of that value up front versus idea that says, hey, let me just catch you in this house and then you want to buy it. And then kind of, then now we're going to have a relationship. So we're going to have to sort of pull forward some of that huge amount of resource and network that many top real estate professionals have and figure out how to communicate that up front.
I love the open house. I build my business off the open house. Like there's a real skill to doing it. And I think you're right. I think there's a real hole in the business, but one, there hasn't been a lot being held because there's been such a shortage of inventory. So I think that as we see days on market start to change a little bit, come back, maybe, well, we may not see a normalized market still because there's going to be such a shortage, but we do see days of market change. So those opportunities, I think you need to allow yourself those opportunities, right? And be really good at that.
There's an interesting thing that Bo brought up was about like human, like how people make decisions. Like people don't want to feel that they're being sold to. They don't want to feel like they're being trapped or they're being like closed on. They want to be educated, right? They want to know what their choices are, what their options are, what the different situations could be based on those choices. And I think the cool part is, and it's because people want autonomy in their decisions, right? It's like they don't want to be told what to do and they don't want to feel trapped. But what happens when you change that dynamic and say, here's all your options, here's all the things that could go any which way with it, and I position myself as such, you've elevated your position. So this whole idea around value proposition goes away when you change the dynamic of what you're presenting and how you position yourself as an advisor. Because now they're like, wow, every one of my conversations, I walked away with now you walk away with an experience. People are emotional humans and they make decisions on emotions. So you just walked away having this experience. If I learned something from Bo, there's something that I didn't even know I could have, and nobody else is talking this way. So inherently, I'm walking away from that conversation knowing that Bo is probably my best option because of the conversation education I just got from him. Because he led me to the value. He didn't lead with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the change in the dynamic of not being scared. It's that you've got to be challenged now as a practitioner to be better. And that's because outside forces have forced that upon you. So instead of fighting that and crying it and running around your chicken with your head cut off, lean into how can I be better in delivering the power of home for my consumers so that I'm at the center of that transaction and I can actually take market share and be better, which everyone, I don't think there's one person that hasn't said this, is that we need to increase the level of talent and the professionalism side of our trade. And we can do that now. So I look at the setting of the DOJ and the settlements and all that as an opportunity to reset the industry and go deliver on something the consumer wants while all of our competitors are figuring out how do I keep doing the same thing over and over again that I've always done, where the real opportunity is to go create something the consumer wants and attract them to you. And in which case you basically control the future as opposed to the future being imposed upon you.
Yeah. I think we got a moment, right? Where we can actually do something really special that reaffirms the role that we play in people's lives, right? And as real estate practitioners, I think we've known for a long time that we're an important part of an important part of people's lives. And I think that's why people do this business. It's why they pour themselves into it. And maybe that hasn't always been best positioned or communicated because of the way things worked. I think we're in a moment now where we're doubling down on that, figuring out how to really create value over time. And maybe the way we get compensated for that value will change. We don't know. But we do know in life and in business that those that create value are those who create businesses and wealth. And so ultimately, we have to show up in this area, in this space, to provide value that I think we understand better than anybody else what the customer wants. Than the only person other than the customer itself who is just close to them is that realtor who's with them going through that experience. And so how do we think about how we take the knowledge we have, the networks we have, the experiences we've had, and turn those into service for our clients and the people that we serve, and do that in a way that's open to an evolution in the way that that value is communicated and compensated?
Well, listen, Bo, I always value your insight and your approach, right? Because you come at things from a different direction, having been the practitioner, right, to doing it, to being a builder and being relationships and just being overly involved with both the agents that have come up through your team and your market centers, as well as the consumer, right? So I hope those listening at home get where you're coming from when we talk about championing yourself with the consumer and putting yourself in an invaluable, indisposable part of that asset that is their home. Mm-hmm. So listen, everybody at home, thanks for listening to Joe, Bo, and I. Give us a listen on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and check into us next week, and look for Bo to join us on future episodes. Bo, as always, thank you.
Have a great day. Thanks for having me, Dave and Joe.